In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, every principality, every dominion, every spiritual wickedness in high places has to bow in front of that name of Jesus. There is no force, no power, there is no liberty made that God is not in control. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. On this Tuesday night, would you allow God the possibility that he can do something in you? Unexpected, unannounced, unscheduled, not out of the ordinary, but in his time, in his way, God seems to creep in. He comes in the midnight hour to do something in your life. Come on, somebody get out of the ordinary into the extraordinary and let God be God and his enemies be scattered. Come on, somebody. There is a presence of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God trying to do something in our midst. Come on, somebody. Step out of your flesh. Step out of your weariness. And let God be God and his enemies be scattered. Come on, somebody. You were, you are, you are forever. Come on. I feel the anointing power of the God who can change anything. Come on. I take dominion and power over this place, God. I ask you, Lord, to shake, God, our complacency. God, this is not just a Tuesday night. This is an opportunity to meet the glory and the power of a God who framed the worlds. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I feel like I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God changed my message as I was walking up here. I know that there is a God that wants to take this church and prepare it for the end time that is right now facing and looming upon us like a mighty shadow. But where the spirit of the enemy rises up, the Lord shall lift up a standard against it. Come on, somebody. Either apostolic one God Jesus name Holy Ghost filled believers, or we're just another group of people gathered together to play tiddlywinks in the presence of God and walk out of here the same as when we came. Often we get used to that mode of doing those kinds of things in the house of God because we have got used to coming to church, doing the same things, expecting a different outcome. I feel something, and I want to obey the Holy Ghost. You can take that down. That's not what I'm going to use tonight. In James, the fifth chapter, the seventh verse, as you find your way there, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost so strong. I'm so grateful for what I feel. I feel the Lord gave clarity in my mind for something I was not even thinking about. I was going to speak on the five kings of Gibeah. That's probably for another time. But I feel in the anointing of the Holy Ghost that God has something for someone tonight. But one of my favorite statements is, when the student arrives, the teacher appears. So the great teacher, rabbi, which means teacher, the rabbi is in the house. The rabbi is in the house. Are there any students in the house to listen to the rabbi? Because if there's no students in the house, then his word will go forward. His word always produces fruit. But it's up to you whether it grows and it prospers inside of you. In the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." That's where we're at right now in this time, in this age. "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." The husbandman, Jesus. What is the precious fruit of the earth? It's you. "And hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." If you've grown up in Pentecost for any length of time, you've heard about the latter rain. The Bible says the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. "Be you also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job. We have seen the end of the Lord. For the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into temptation. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is he merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. And here's the verse that the Lord laid on my heart. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now and confess your faults to the Lord, your sins privately to him? Come on. This is the night, if you've got aught in your heart against your brother, that you make it right and give it to the Lord. If you've got sin in your life unconfessed, tonight is the night that God is calling that your heart be cleansed and your mind be pure. Come on, somebody. Oh, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You heard it right from the word of the Lord, a man of like passions, and he prayed effectual and fervent, and it rained not for 3 years and 6 months. And so if a man of like passions can cause it not to rain for 3 years and 6 months, then I ask you tonight, are you effectual and are you fervent? Because those are the requirements for God to move. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, mankind, that means woman, that means man, that means anybody, availeth much. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? You may be seated. Hang hang on because I have no idea what's coming next. I don't know what to say or do, so I'm just going to say, Lord, you got to give me the words. I began to think as I was down there, and I began to pray, and Melissa, so helpful. It's so good to have a helpmeet in your life. She gave me some promptings for the word of the Lord and what to speak on tonight to be my helpmeet, and I want to publicly tell her I appreciate that, and I'm grateful for that. I had a busy day, and I had a late notice from my pastor, whom I love and I appreciate. But the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. And so this is as instant in season as you can be, because I am not preaching what I prepared to come up here to preach. So I have no idea what's coming next, so hang on. So I begin to think about this service. I begin to worship the Lord, and I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon me. And I'm so grateful, Pastor, that you have begun to clearly enunciate to this church the doctrine and the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not two baptisms. There are not two baptisms. There is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is a baptism in Jesus' name. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all, through you all, and in you all. Apostle Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. I don't know what you're going to do with that scripture if you think it's totally spiritual to have the Holy Ghost in your life. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Was the man crazy, or was he in the Word of God? I would say he was in the Word of God, because we base our foundation upon the words of the apostles. The Bible itself proclaims that the Word of God was built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so today we stand in the power of God. Elias, a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning he was as frail and as human as we are, he prayed. But the Bible, the verse before, said he was effectual and fervent. For me to get effectual and fervent, I have to pray according to God's will and not according to my will. The Bible says we ask and we receive not. The Bible says that we are to ask and it shall be given unto us. We are to seek and we shall find. We knock, and it shall be open unto you. But why at times does it seem like heaven is as of brass, and we begin to pray and nothing happens? Well, there's some fundamentals that you've got to practice in your experience with God. I remember playing golf with a minister many years ago. And man, his golf swing was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen in him in my life. I think I was with Pastor when this happened. He was talking about it wasn't him. And so I was looking at this swing, and it was the oddest thing in the world I'd ever seen. But man, when that club made contact with that ball, off it went in the direction it was supposed to go, which is something I haven't achieved as of to date. It goes whithersoever it will, kind of like the Holy Ghost. Maybe that's a metaphor. When I hit, I'm so full of the Holy Ghost that when that ball goes, it goes whithersoever it will. But one of the things that he said, it's all about the fundamentals. It's all about, and I can't tell you, I've had many men tell me how to golf, and you know, I get out there and it's just, I'm lucky if I hit the ball. Most of the time, it's a ground thing, and it just bounces and rolls its direction, and I just have fun because I enjoy being with men of God. But Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. So one thing I want to talk to you all tonight about, or preach, or do whatever this is going to be, I don't even know yet, is that there is a point when a child, in child development psychology, he starts forming the ability to speak language long before he says his first words.
So that babbling that you hear, the goos and the gahs and the babblings, the Bible even talks about, and with stammering lips and other tongues shall I speak to my people. And so for a church to move in apostolic victory and power, we have to learn how to continually walk and move in the Holy Ghost. And to do that, I'm applying what Paul said. I can't tell you what the frequency is. I think with every person, it's different. I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues every day, but Paul said, and you just take it on what this means to you. He said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. What does that mean? It means more than you all. It means there is some frequency to it. I was working with someone not too long ago, and they're like, man, I can't wait to speak in tongues again. And I said, oh? I said, you got the Holy Ghost, you know what, 5-6 months ago? Yeah. I said, have you spoken tongues since? And they went, no. They look at me kind of surprised. So today I want to teach you a little bit about how the Holy Ghost works and how it will move and progress in your life. So when I first got the Holy Ghost, I was 5 years old, and man, I still remember it. The Holy Ghost fell on me, and my mouth went numb. I felt chill bumps from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I felt the anointing of God. It felt like it was going to burst out of my chest. I felt exuberant. I felt euphoric. I felt like, I don't know what meth feels like, Brother Timmy, but it felt like I was on a meth high, except it was from the glory of God. It wasn't from meth. And so it went on that way for a while. I would receive the Holy Ghost, and I would feel that just overwhelming unction of the Holy Ghost, and I would burst out and speak in other tongues, and I would feel the glory of God. But one day, I was somewhere. Obviously, you're always somewhere. So I was there, wherever somewhere is. And something inside of me began to worship and praise the Lord. Maybe it was in my house. I was younger than I am now. And I began to speak in tongues, but yet I didn't feel the bubblies in my mouth. I didn't feel the euphoria coming up and down. And so I hurried the next service, and I went to my pastor, and I said, hey, did I make that up? What was all that about? And he said, no, you didn't. And he said, I'll be in my truck. And he was a painter, one of my former pastors. And he said, I'll be in my truck. I'll be praying about things. And he said, I'll just lift my hands to heaven. And I'll just say, Lord, I love you. And I'll begin to speak in other tongues. Because at some point in your walk with God, it doesn't take an altar with people pounding you on the back and thumping you on the head and rubbing your back and screaming in your ear, that there is a liberty in you that you can lift your hands and exalt the name of God and just begin to fluently speak in other tongues. Now, over a period of time, as I let the Holy Ghost move in me, I absolutely feel the presence of the Lord moving in wherever I'm at. But I want to encourage some of you that have received the Holy Ghost in the last year, and it's been a couple of months since you spoke in tongues. I want to put in your hearing, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. And so develop this attitude in you that he that prayeth in secret shall be rewarded in open. I was just sharing with a young couple in this church that right now the divorce rate is approximately around 46% among non-church people. It is about 25% among church people. But it is 1%, listen to me, 1% in couples who pray daily or regularly, whatever that word is, together. That's a significant drop from 25%. 1% of couples that pray together and allow the Holy Ghost into their home. They built an altar unto the Lord in their home. And so my question to you, and maybe this is the title, I don't know. We're going to figure it out here in a minute. How many of you are building an altar in your home? An altar where you can go and find the presence of God, where that you can go and seek His face together as a couple or privately on your own. Where is this desire and yearning inside of us that we become effectual and fervent in how we try to reach the Lord? I was talking to Brother Don today, and people that live in the world under alcohol and drug addiction, man, they're hustling. They're hustling, they're bustling, because I don't know if you know this, but some of us that have taken Vicodin and you feel the effects for 4 to 6 hours, there's a period of time when you get so addicted and so tolerant to an opiate that the high may last for 20 seconds, maybe a minute, 2 minutes, and the only thing that's left is for the next 2 hours, that opiate in your bloodstream or that fentanyl just keeps you from withdrawal. That's all it does. So there's a two-hour clock or a three-hour clock, it depends on where you are in your addiction, where if you don't get your next fix, you're going to start going into severe withdrawals. And so their life is continually pushed 2 hours ahead. It is a dreary and depressing way to live because withdrawals are horrible. I don't know if any of you have ever seen anybody go through a severe alcohol or opiate or benzodiazepine withdrawal, but it's horrible. It's horrific. There are times I've seen people shake the bed to where I thought the bed was going to fall apart. Sweats profusely and vomiting and all the other things that go with that withdrawal. It's a horrible thing to go through. That's why that drug addiction keeps pushing people forward, because they know, they start to feel that come inside of them, and they start to feel the shakes and the withdrawal and the feelings and the anxiety and the depression, and all they're looking for is the next fix. But here's what happens. We get them through that first 4 to 6 days. And that's exactly what happens. They walk around waiting for us to fix everything else. They gripe. Bill, one of the founders of AA, talked about they become restless, irritable, discontent. Their addiction is no longer being fed. They're outside of the withdrawal window. And it's like, take care of me, feed me. Do what I need. And my question tonight is, when you were in sin and you ran from things and life was horrible, I had a man today griping about the food, and I'm like, buddy, 2 weeks ago you were living under a Vidoc, eating trash off the ground, and you're griping and complaining because you've got this, that, and the other. You've got good food to eat. What are you griping about? It's that restless, irritable, and discontent. God did many miracles to the children of Israel, and yet they would walk and murmur and complain. And what is this manna? You know, it comes from heaven. This food that miraculously covers the ground every morning, it tastes like wafers and honey. And after a while, they griped and complained, and God said, sure, fine, here's some quail. So they were so desperate, they ate it whole and got sick. Human nature is that we are prone to migrate to the level of least resistance. And so God saved you, spared you, and we come into the house of God. He took the weight of sin off of you, and the effectual fervency dies down to a complacency. Oh, Laodicean church, I would that you would wake up. I'm not saying we're the Laodicean church. I don't know. I think it was talking about, I know they were specific churches, but I believe that there are ages and times that different churches can be different ones. Philadelphia and Thyatira and different churches that had different levels of spirituality. But tonight I want to encourage you that you have to keep the Holy Ghost renewed in your life. If it's been a minute since you've spoken tongues, you're due. If it's been a while since you have got down and spoken a heavenly language, you're due. And for those of you that are trying to make up your mind, whether it's in the Word of God or not, it is. And today is the day that you grab a hold of it and realize that it's a gift for you. It's a gift for you, for unto you God provided. Job even talked about it. In the last days, I will speak to my people through vision, signs, and stammering lips, and with other tongues. And so there are so many types and shadows. We don't have time to go over those. But tonight, I felt in the Holy Ghost to just remind this church, you've got to keep the Holy Ghost moving in you, because I've been watching over the last couple of months, and I've been watching in my own life. There is a spiritual domain in this world. There's a book that I've been reading that talks about the Balaams of the Old Testament. We know that Elijah prayed and God consumed the fire, and he also killed the prophets Baal. But Baal was not killed. You cannot kill a spirit. And Balaam is a plural term, for there were different Baals. And we're seeing the rise of the old gods. And that's the name of the book by Jonathan Cahn. And it talks about, we're seeing in the last day the rise of the old gods. And for many years, I thought the scripture in the Bible that talked about when an unclean spirit leaves a man, it goes out into the desolate places, and it wanders. Then it comes back and it sees that the house is clean and swept, and it invites seven more spirits that are more unclean than itself. But later in that chapter, it says, and unto this untoward generation, be it unto this untoward generation, or something of that wording. And so as I begin to listen to Mr. Kahn's book, he talked about the reference there may be to an individual, but it's also to a nation. In the 1960s, we kicked prayer out of school. 1970s, we opened up the door for killing of children and babies in the womb, the most defenseless of all. The womb used to be the most protected place that there was, and now it's one of the most dangerous places in the world. We opened the door to those things. And anthropologists have said that nations that have always been pagan tend to just stay that way. But nations that come to an understanding of truth and of governance, but then fall back into idolatry, become worse than they were before. I would posit that what he's talking about is what the scripture says. They become seven times worse. We're seeing, I was perplexed for years. Why is there a movement in this country to destroy what the founding fathers have built? I was raised in an era where there was one side and then there was the other side, and they generally could find consensus in the middle. Now we're looking at where there is no consensus in the middle, that everything has to be destroyed and tore down and rebuilt again. There is no compromise, because those old Baals and Balaams are resurrecting themselves in this country like never before, because they found the house clean and swept. and they have walked into this country, and it is becoming more perverse than it ever was before. But it now is the time where the Lord wants to lift up a standard. And the only way he can lift up a standard is if his people, which are called by my name, that are Holy Ghost filled and on fire for God and fervent in their prayer and their belief that God can do anything, are on their knees in their homes, in this church, challenging the spirits of this world and proclaiming God to be God of all. And that song was so perfect. The throne room. One of these days, we're going to see the 24 elders. We ourselves are going to cast the crowns that God gives unto us before his feet, saying, we're not worthy to receive anything, but it's you who have all dominion and power and authority and glory and honor. But it's not going to come from people that are sitting on a pew, satisfied with what they have and not desiring something deeper with God. And so tonight I'm asking you, would you dig inside of yourself as we stand all over this place and the music comes? Would you dig inside of yourself and find some fervency? Find some spark inside of you where you feel and you desire to have more of a relationship with him. That there is a desire inside of you, like Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Come on, somebody. Come on. I know it's Tuesday. I know you're tired. But could you just for a moment just let go of your Holy Ghost inside of you? Some of you that haven't spoken tongues for a while, as you all make your way toward this altar, let's just have a moment. Come on, everybody, come on. Come to this altar together and find a place in God and speak in tongues again. Let God renew in you the Holy Ghost. Let God renew in you that spirit, that self-same spirit that when he comes again, it's going to quicken us to be caught up, to be ever with the Lord. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Today is the day to let that renewing take place in you. There should be no dissension. There should be no arguing. There should be no discord among us. You know what? When it happens, it's when the people of God have quit praying. The people of God have let go of some of the fundamentals. Come on, as they sing this song, usher in the worship of the Lord. Come on, let the Holy Ghost just fill you again. Come on, somebody. You don't need somebody laying their hands on you. You don't need to jump and shout. Just have faith in the King of Kings and let the Holy Ghost flow out of you. Speak in tongues again in that heavenly language. Let God know that you are the center, that he is the center of everything in your life. Hallelujah.